This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Temperatures have been frigid across the Coulee region this week, highlighting the importance of home heating systems. But for many low-income individuals and families, keeping the utility bills paid can be difficult. Today we're talking about all things home heating, from local programs to help residents keep the heat on, to tips to make home systems more efficient. Joining us are Tom Miller, administrator of the La Crosse County Energy Assistance Program, Pat Boland, manager of customer policy and assistance for Xcel Energy, and Tom Main, energy services director for Coulee Cap. Pat, we'll start with you. How do extreme cold temperatures like we're seeing here this week impact home heating systems?
Well, it can impact the system quite heavily, and it also can cause some concerns for customers as far as the bills are concerned. And what is that next bill going to bring, and how are they going to be able to afford it and pay for it? And probably the strongest message that we would have at this point, given the weather that we're going to undertake here in the state of Wisconsin, is, you know, be safe. Make sure that you're in an environment that you're keeping the heat at a level that's safe both for you and for your property. We don't want to see anything cause any problems, broken pipes or anything like that. Relative to that next bill, we can help you figure that out, whether it's making a payment arrangement or referring customers to the energy assistance organizations, whatever that might be. We want to deal with the bill when it's appropriate, but first and foremost, the health and safety.
Are there things that residents can do during times of extreme cold to make sure that their system is running efficiently or to kind of keep costs low?
Well, make sure it's maintained, I think, is probably the biggest thing in making sure that it's been serviced or checked out by a professional, just to make sure that it's as efficient as possible and you're maximizing the benefit of that heating source. Make sure that, you know, you, again, keep the thermostat at an appropriate level. Make sure you're comfortable. Don't try and close off rooms or anything like that, because sometimes you don't always understand what's behind the wall, whether it's a water pipe or something like that that you need to worry about. But, again, just make sure that you're comfortable over these next few days.
Is there anything that Xcel has been doing to kind of prepare for this week?
Well, first and foremost, it's our system, you know, so we want to make sure both our gas and electric system is as reliable as it always is, maintains that, because one of the things that we're very concerned about is when we have to send our employees out in this kind of weather, should it be to work on a down power line or work on some kind of a gas situation, they do get put into hazardous environments, and we want to make sure they stay safe.
You know, Tom Main, Pat's mentioning, you know, encouraging people not to turn their heat down so low that it's unsafe. You know, is that a common, I guess, strategy we see some people who are worried about paying their bill kind of take on?
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things our program addresses. We find a lot of, especially elderly people, that haven't had to reach out for help in the past. And their solution to high energy bills is turn the thermostat down and try to bundle up. And also in this weather, we need to think about a lot of people use their stove as heat, or non-vented LP or kerosene heaters or electric heaters that are unsafe. We see a lot of that with people just worried about the overall electric bill. And when the weather gets to this point and is this dangerous, you know, we can help with the bill. We'll get you through. Just keep your temperature at a comfortable level.
Yeah. Tom, I see you kind of shaking your head, too. I imagine this is something you guys see as well.
Well, we do, and we hear it from people, too, whose furnaces have gone out or they're out of fuel. They have mentioned that they've been using their stove or their oven, or someone has told them to do that, and we always tell them that is very unsafe to make sure you close it. Do not use it. We do have space heaters available to people to use until they can get their furnaces working.
So before we kind of continue talking about the frigid temperatures this week, I want to have the Toms kind of explain a little bit about the programs that you guys provide. And so we'll start with you, Tom Miller, just kind of talking a little bit about La Crosse County's Energy Assistance Program.
Okay, so Energy Assistance is actually a program in all counties in Wisconsin. It's each county does the administration of the program. So you have to be a resident of the county in which you apply. So we only do energy assistance for La Crosse County residents. So there's an energy assistance program, and what it does is during the regular heating season between October 1st and May 15th, they can if they're eligible, they can be potentially eligible for help with their heating and also with their public benefits or electric bills. And it's a one-time payment, and it's made directly to their fuel vendor. We also have emergency services, so if you're eligible for regular energy assistance, we can potentially help them with emergency situations. For like a homeowner, it could be getting their furnace replaced or repaired if it happens. They just need to contact us in order for us to do that, and we make the referrals for any furnace emergencies to Cooley Cap. We also have emergency assistance for fuel. So if you like are a bulk fuel user like propane or fuel oil, we can also assist you with fuel during the heating season. As far as if people are disconnected or are potentially going to be disconnected, we also have a program that can assist them with that. And fortunately, during the moratorium season between November 1st and May 15th, or April 15th, isn't it? Xcel does not disconnect during that time period, or any Class A utility does not. So we're able to assist people outside of that period with those folks. And then anyone who applies for energy assistance is automatically eligible for potential weatherization. And once they're determined eligible, Cooley Cap actually receives the referrals in the system, and then they determine which households that they want to work with.
And so how is the program funded?
It's a federally funded program. So it's federally funded. So, yeah, we get our money from the government.
Mm-hmm. And were you guys impacted at all by the federal government shutdown that we experienced?
This program is not, because the contract was signed and the funds were already approved. So for this heating year, we are fine and it didn't affect it at all. Thank goodness.
And Tom Main, we'll also go to you and kind of explain how Cooley Cap helps with people, you know, kind of address these heating needs.
Okay, so as Tom explained, once they've applied for energy assistance, they then become eligible for weatherization. So the things we do in weatherization, insulate attics and install energy efficient lighting. We concentrate on reducing air leakage. We look at the furnace, water heater. Currently, in the last program year, we've been targeting high energy users. The program asked for us to target high energy, elderly, and households with children under 6 and disabled. We kind of narrowed that down where we're high energy users, the people that have the biggest energy burden. And so in the last program year, we did about 241 homes in weatherization. That's in the 4-county area. We not only serve La Crosse, we have Crawford, Monroe, and Vernon counties. We're able to save those people through the energy savings measures we do $740 on average. That also, they're still eligible for their fuel assistance. So the $740 is money that goes directly into their pocket. And then there's, like I said, they're still eligible for the energy assistance. This program is funded through 3 different funding sources. It comes through the LIHEAP, which is the Low Income Energy Assistance Program, DOE, which is Department of Energy federal funding coming directly targeted to the weatherization program, and public benefits. It's a tax at the state level. You'll see it on your electric bill as commitment to community. The utilities collect this fee. It's $3 for everyone that has an electric meter, a residential electric meter. It goes up a little bit on businesses. This is then funneled through the state and comes back to Cooley Cap. We're a grantee for the weatherization program for the 4-county area. That kind of funds our program. We run into a lot of elderly people that are really hesitant to sign up for energy assistance. And I think there's a bigger group of this all the time as fixed income people. The baby boomers become fixed income, and they need help. They're really reluctant to sign up for this. We see it. The numbers are going down, actually, of people as the economy is a little bit better signing up for this. And I always go to the explanation, this is a fee that you've been paying on your electric bill for many, many years. You know, it kind of puts some of those people at ease that, you know, you've been helping other people through this community, and it's your time to get some of the help.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking with energy providers and local programs keeping home heating systems running this winter. We're here with Tom Main from CooliCap, Tom Miller from La Crosse County's Energy Assistance Program, and Pat Boland from Xcel Energy. Tom, how long has CooliCap been providing this assistance with helping upgrade home heating systems and address some of these costs?
Boy, you're putting me on the spot there. I don't know the exact year that the public benefits law come to pass, but CooliCap has been a provider for those services. Mid-70s, I believe, right?
It's been at least 20, 25 years,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. And CooliCap has always been the provider for that in the four county area.
And before we get too much farther in the conversation, Pat, I wonder if you can kind of explain, we've mentioned the heating season, that mm-hmm. October to April period. Can you kind of explain the law around that, the moratorium on turning off heating?
Sure. Yeah, the state of Wisconsin, it was back in the early 1980s, kind of responded to some concerns that utilities had disconnected services either early on in the heating season or prior to the end of the heating season, that really did put some customers into a significant risk. And they passed a statute here in Wisconsin that just kind of did a broad moratorium on disconnections of heating sources during that period of time. And it allows customers to navigate the energy assistance program, to work with the utility as far as any past due bills or arrears that they may have on their account. But it all comes under the umbrella is that they're going to remain in a safe environment during the heating season, as the utilities will not be disconnecting services. And so that's kind of the snapshot for the connected utilities. When you start talking about customers with fuel oil and LP gas, they're in a kind of a different place. They have to really monitor where they're at. But from the electric regulated utility environment, there would not be any disconnects.
How often do you see people kind of, being impacted by that moratorium, people who would have had their heat turned off?
Well, as you would expect, especially with the geography of Wisconsin, where we have some very northern counties where it gets pretty cold early, and certainly in the southern part as well. But you do see people for various economical, social situations that they do become past due throughout the heating season. And it does put the utilities in a position to say, what are we going to need to do in working with that household as we come out of the heating season? But really, one of the things that we also have to be very cautious of is, unfortunately, the next heating season isn't that far away. So we need to make sure that we provide adequate period of time for customers to get caught up using the programs, as the Toms have illustrated, try and manage their services. But again, making sure that we don't start carrying things over from year to year because they weren't able to afford themselves of the programs that are out there.
And so you mentioned that, this moratorium kind of creates this opportunity for individuals to get hooked up with assistance programs. So mm-hmm. I wonder if you could kind of just walk through how that person kind of ends up from that past due bill mm-hmm. to help, being connected with the county.
Certainly. And so as we interact with our customers throughout the heating season, as you would expect, we do get phone calls every day from somebody that's maybe communicating a struggle in paying their bill. But part of that whole conversation is making sure that they understand the programs that are available for them out there. Have you applied for or looked into applying for energy assistance? Because that, as Tom pointed out, is that's the first step is get through that energy assistance program, because there is primary heat benefits, there's public benefits, there's crisis benefits that could be available to customers. We want to make sure that they have fully taken advantage of those opportunities and in making sure that they're addressing it. One of the luxuries, I shouldn't say a luxury, but one of the benefits of the energy assistance program is that you can go in early and apply. It has absolutely nothing to do with how much you owe on your bill or if you're past due. You can apply early. get your benefit calculated and have that sent to the utility and posted on your account, and again, regardless of how much you owe. So it's a lot of communication over the heating season with our customers, or attempted communication with our customers. One of the things that we always encourage is that even if you have a possibility that you're going to get past due on your account, pick up the phone and call us, because we can help you navigate the waters out there to get some additional assistance.
And Tom Miller, I wonder if you could speak to how often we're seeing people in La Crosse County, accessing the programs that you guys provide.
We start early. We spend the summer doing a lot of outreach, trying to inform people about the program and when it starts. We are able to take applications actually before October 1st, so we can get some people, to get their minds relieved, knowing that they're eligible for assistance. But last heating season, just to give you a number, we saw 3,300 households apply for energy assistance in La Crosse County. So that's quite a few people. It's like over $2.3 million in assistance that helped these people. But during the heating season, and when they come in to apply, I mean, they can apply by phone, they can do a paper application, or they can come into the office. But we always like to remind people of the other as parts of the program, like if they have a furnace emergency, if they own the home, that they make sure to give us a call before they get repairs done, because then we can cover the cost of a replacement of that. We tell them about weatherization. If they come into the office, we have little refrigerator magnets that have our phone number on it. So if they have energy assistance, just to remind them, or especially if people have furnaces, we tell them, stick it right on your furnace, so if it doesn't work and you're down there, you see it, and it triggers, oh, yeah, I can call them, and they might be able to help us. So we do spend a lot of time, and we do see, like Tom had said, like the elderly don't want to apply, and we do a lot of talking to people, telling them that this is what the program's for. You know, if they're not eating as much or not taking their medications or paying for their bills, well, this is what this is for, is to make sure that they have adequate funds to help them pay their bills off. And we do work with the utilities a lot, and actually Xcel on their bills have how to get energy assistance right in there. So if they open their bills and read, it is on there, and it tells them how to get a hold of us and mentions the program. So yeah, it's a team effort. And then Cooley Gap we call quite often, especially once there's a furnace emergency. We want to make sure that the person is taken care of and that their health and welfare is taken care of. You know, we don't want people freezing. So we make sure that they have, space heaters and that Cooley Gap knows so they can get out there as soon as possible.
How have those numbers changed? You mentioned 3,300 people is what the county helped last year. And, is that number increasing or decreasing? Is there a definitive trend there?
I'd have to agree with Tom when he mentioned that if the economy's doing well, it seems like, not as many people apply. And it's like, even though this financial situation may not have changed that much, you wonder why they still don't apply. So we do encourage people, and we do outreach. We do send out letters, like we're getting ready to send out letters to people who haven't applied this year, who applied in the previous year, just to remind them that they can still apply. But you do notice, too, there's a sharp increase, like when you get a cold spell, or like especially at the beginning of the heating season, when you get that first snap of cold, you get a lot of furnace calls, for instance. They haven't been using their furnaces, and all of a sudden they aren't working or they aren't working right. So that does trigger calls.
And how has Cooley Cap seen kind of their numbers change over the years? You mentioned you feel like you're seeing less people kind of apply for these programs.
We are overall, I think the application, I can't really speak to but I have looked at the numbers, and a couple of our counties seem to be going down. And I think, like Tom mentioned, outreach is real important. It always surprises me as much as it's advertised and in their bill, the people we run into that aren't aware of the program. A lot of them know through the emergency furnace program that Cooley Cap does that work, and they'll call in, and they haven't applied for fuel assistance yet. The county level is your first step. They call Cooley Cap a lot, and it's heartbreaking for us not be able to do anything if they haven't applied at the county level yet. Once they apply for that in an emergency situation, we have 24 hours to get out and assess their furnace, a no-heat situation, and 72 hours to repair or replace. So October 1st, the heating season kicks in on October 1st, and we've responded to 209 referrals in our four-county area. We replaced 89 furnaces and done 100 repairs. And I can only imagine that's going to spike during this season. We were talking a little bit before the show. I'm sure there's furnaces that won't shut off. You know, mobile homes seem to be a big issue. They're notoriously hard to heat. I'm sure those furnaces won't shut off. They'll run 24 hours a day for the next few days. And if anything's prone to failure, it will. So that's one of the messages I could get across is this emergency program and how many people aren't aware of it. But they need to contact their county they live in first.
That's Tom Main from Cooley Cap here with us today to talk about home heating systems in light of the frigid temperatures gripping the Cooley region this week. He's joined by Tom Miller from La Crosse County's Energy Assistance Program and Pat Boland from Xcel Energy. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Tom Main, I wonder if you could talk about some of the most common home heating systems that we see in this area. You know, is it the newer kind of, you know, HVAC systems, or do we still see a lot of old boiler systems?
Oh, we absolutely do. And that's one of the target when I talked about high energy users that we kind of target. It's surprising how many fuel oil heated homes that we can still, if we look for them, they're still in La Crosse. And for some reason, natural gas is going right down the street, but people have not had the money to convert over the system. The energy savings on that is out of sight. When our auditors go out, we look at the whole home, we test all the furnaces. We then go back and run all the things we find through a NEAT program. It's the National Energy Assistance Tool, and it'll tell us the cost savings on each item. The payback for us to switch from a fuel oil furnace to a natural gas is under 5 years currently. It's right around six or five and a half, six, something like that. Our program can pay. We work with the utilities. They get natural gas into the home. And at that time, we'll switch over the furnace. We'll do the water heater. Usually fuel oil and homes have an electric water heater. The payback on that is under 10 years. We'll switch all those over, and the savings is just astronomical for the client. It also gives them the peace of mind, as discussed earlier. Fuel oil, they can run out, you know. Natural gas, they can always work with the utilities. It lessens that fear of running out. We also do a lot of rural with LP, and we're also finding that natural gas is constantly, the utilities are constantly expanding their lines, and we kind of look for where they're going to the lines and identify people that are on LP. The savings aren't as high as fuel oil, but it's a big savings for people if we can convert them over.
Yeah, Pat, I wonder if you could talk a little bit more to the savings between, you know, that come with just upgrading a home heating system.
Yeah, actually, as Tom pointed out, it's probably the biggest thing is peace of mind in making sure that you have that constant source that's being connected to your home. We are constantly looking at our footprint, not only in La Crosse County, but in our general service territory in Wisconsin, and looking for what opportunities are there to expand our natural gas system? What is the potential population? We constantly are looking at working with smaller towns, smaller cities that may have an opportunity to run natural gas through their system. But it is very economical, probably more economical than some of the options that customers are having right now. And it's definitely more economical than electric heat. But, you know, just looking at those opportunities for that expansion of natural gas is really important. And we do it every year. It just is looking at what opportunities make most sense from a cost perspective.
Yeah, and Tom Miller, you know, I wonder if you could kind of talk a little bit more about the differences in heating needs between rural and urban areas. You know, I'm sure we even see that in La Crosse County of, you know, the difference between living in the city of La Crosse or living in a more rural area.
Well, we've definitely seen a big shift in people going from bulk fuels to natural gas as Cooley Cap has been replacing furnaces, and that's one thing we do encourage and tell people to make sure, you know, apply for these programs. It may not be done through an emergency, but it might be done through the weatherization portion of it, which provides even more benefits to the household. But we generally see most of our clients, our highest percentage is natural gas. We do still see some of the bulk fuel people more in the rural areas, you know, out in the country, but we're pretty urban. But I definitely say for our county, its majority is the natural gas. I know some of the other, there's other counties that the majority are fuel oil or LP.
Yeah, and Tom Main, I imagine that they're, you know, even just kind of where you're located geographically can make a difference at heating, whether you're on top of a bluff or, you know, down in a valley.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the heat load on a home, well, and the wind chills we're experiencing now, the heat chill on a home that's exposed is much higher than in rural areas. So that rural areas are, you know, have a higher burden. A lot of the rural areas in the bulk fuel, we still find a lot of people heating with wood. I go back to, again, to the baby boomers as they age. People have been able to cut and burn wood their whole life, and now they're finding that they're not able to do that. And when they come through their program and we switch them over to natural gas or in rural areas an LP heated home, takes a huge burden off them of not worrying about going into the winter. We did a couple of those this year, and an elderly lady comes to mind that was going out with a walker. Her husband had died. He was responsible for cutting the wood. She was going out with a walker and had a bag on the walker, bringing two pieces of wood in at a time to feed her furnace. And we were able to switch her over, insulate her home, and switch her over to LP. And kind of makes you feel good at the end of the day when you go home, you know, you're able to address something like that.
Tom Main from Cooley Cap is here with us today to talk about issues related to home heating, from how to make your heating system more efficient to programs available to help low-income residents pay their utility bills. He's here with Tom Miller from La Crosse County's Energy Assistance Program and Pat Boland from Xcel Energy. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation about home heating in light of the frigid temperatures across the Cooley region this week. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about all things related to home heating as the Cooley region experiences frigid temperatures this week. New technology and weatherization methods can help families make their heating systems more efficient, but some residents of the Cooley region struggle to keep their utility bills paid in the winter. We're here with Tom Miller, administrator of La Crosse County Energy Assistance Program, Pat Boland, manager of customer policy and assistance for Xcel Energy, and Tom Main, energy services director for Cooley Cap. So we've talked a little bit about weatherization and how important that can be. But Pat, I wonder if you could talk about, you know, how, you know, taking simple steps to kind of weatherize your home, how that can really impact someone's utility bill.
You'd be amazed at how many of the small steps can add up, you know. So whether it's drafty windows, whether it's a draft under your door, whether it's, you know, any steps that you would be able to do to you know, take care of a crack or doing something that's going to limit the airflow that's coming into your home is going to pay off. And a lot of those little steps can add over to significant dollars. And so whether you're doing it on your own, whether you're doing it through Cooley or another program, the intent is to take those steps and to lower your bill. And it's not just the gas bill, it's the electric bill. In making sure that you're in an environment that is most economical.
Tom, I wonder if you could kind of explain, you know, I'm sure there's a wide range of weatherization from little things like addressing a crack under the door to maybe bigger projects around the home.
the first step for a lot of people, I feel, is the energy audit. A lot of people, once we get to a home, we see people have spent a lot of money, invested a lot of time for things that aren't really saving them. You know, everybody thinks insulation. Well, insulation might not be the first thing you go for, or drafty windows. You know, everybody, as you walk by a window, you naturally feel it's cold, even though it's not leaking. Everybody assumes it's a draft. But with an energy audit, our trained auditors know what to look for, know the first things to do. There's notoriously in attics, there are things we call bypasses around chimneys, where plumbing pipes go through attics. They're open areas that naturally draft the heat right up into the attic and out of your home. That's one of the biggest bangs for the buck that I see is if a homeowner wants a do-it-yourself project, is to go look around your attic and see, you know, look for those areas. But don't think that insulation is the first step. There's other things that can help you out greatly.
And how does someone sign up for an energy audit or qualify?
The first thing they do with Cooley Cap, if they qualify for energy assistance, we usually do outreach letters, but they can call our office and see if they're interested in. Like I say, high energy burden is kind of what we target right now. And it's all perspective to the person. Some of the naturally gas-heated homes, there's not much we can do there because in comparison to somebody that's heating with LP or fuel oil, their bills, even though they're high to them, they're small. But we can do an energy audit, and customer education is a big part of it, too. As we do the energy audit, we walk around and talk to them. Sometimes it's not the best thing. To shut off vents, that's hard on your furnace. People think, well, I'm not going to heat this room. Actually, that's taxing your furnace. If you start restricting the air that's flowing through, the heating system is designed to have all those vents open and to move the air through the house. That's a common mistake. So customer education is one of the things we do. Even we may not be able to do actual work on the house. The energy audit may not call. It may be a fairly energy efficient house, but sometimes the customer education can go a long ways too.
Yeah, Pat, are there resources available that you suggest people check out if they're wanting to kind of learn how to make their heating system most efficient?
Well, there is a lot of it in through these organizations. They can certainly help and you know, cannot stress enough the need to have a qualified person looking at your heating system annually if possible. I know sometimes it doesn't always happen annually, but annually if possible to make sure that there's no safety issues, number one, with the furnace, but making sure that it's operating very effectively. And one of the most effective ways that you a homeowner could do something is really checking that furnace filter, changing it out on a very regular basis, because as Tom mentioned, any restriction of airflow is going to tax the heating system and ultimately cost you more money to manage it.
You know, we've seen temperatures kind of yo-yo this winter, from a really cold start to the season to kind of warming back up, and now we're back in a cold period. And, you know, Pat, I wonder, how does that kind of back and forth of temperatures impact home heating systems?
Well, I'm not the home heating expert. Maybe Tom can answer that one, but it's more so when it comes to a utility customer. When you have the yo-yo of temperatures, it comes down to more what's their bill going to look like and how are they going to be able to afford that. And so typically when we get into season, a period of time like this where, you know, customers now know that they're going to be using an awful lot of heat, they do become concerned about how they're going to be able to pay for it, and that does create a spike in calls to us. But from the home heating system, Tom would be our expert on that one.
Yeah, Tom, on average, does that make – it more costly to run a heating system?
Well, I mean, the yo-yo and temperature thing, I think, is people aren't prepared for it. It seems like as you go into fall and it starts getting colder, people start paying attention to their heating system more. But as we've had this warm fall, and now, bang, the furnace is all of a sudden asked to do a lot, maybe the furnace filter hasn't been checked or they haven't looked and until it becomes an emergency situation. It's always a good thing to be prepared and look at it before it's actually needed to operate at its maximum.
As we see kind of more of these weather extremes as climate changes, I wonder if this is something that your organization has thought about.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was currently on a Department of Energy workforce for 2 years trying to bring renewable energy into the low-income households. As renewable energy and the utilities are making it available to the higher-income people, there's a fear that a lot of the low-income people will be left out of that, the benefits to that. So that's one of the things. And also our program now at the federal level is starting to look at, as we weatherize these homes, as we make them more energy efficient, we're doing a lot of environmental things too, you know, greenhouse gases and everything. And that's starting, the benefits of those are starting to be brought into the program to, it's never been considered as a benefit to the program before, but that's being looked at more and more, realizing how much we're saving through this program. Another thing that's being brought into the program is health and safety issues. We look at a lot of health and safety issues. We look at ventilation in the home and air quality in the home as we do the energy audit, and we address a lot of those. We upgrade humidifiers and look at dampness in the basement. A lot of those health benefits are being looked at now, too. Childhood asthma is one of the biggest things for lost days of school. And this time of year, people are living, you know, 24 hours a day in their home more and not fresh air. So as we seal these homes up and make them more energy efficient, we look at ventilating right and air quality, which the health and safety issue is forefront in a lot of this.
Yeah. Tom Miller, I wonder how kind of just looking to the future and as I mentioned, you know, these more weather extremes, you know, how is the county kind of preparing for that situation?
Well, pretty much, you know, our direction comes more from the government. So the directions that the programs would take, at this point, there hasn't been a lot of discussion as far as in this program. I don't know if the county itself has discussions about that. But I think, what we see is definitely a lot of customers are driven by the amount of their bills and how much they owe. That triggers it more than climate change right now. I think they're more concerned about that, their bills right now, than probably climate change.
Yeah. Is Xcel doing any sort of thinking ahead, Pat, about, how weather extremes are going to impact the kind of heating needs, the energy needs mm-hmm. of the future?
Well, we're probably most reliant industry on, you know, forecasting out to the future. What are our energy needs going to look like? What are customer usage patterns doing? And thankfully, over the last several years, our sales have kind of flattened out. So as you can think of customers that are investing in either weatherization or maybe some new appliances, every new appliance that comes out on the market now is going to be using a lot less energy than the one you're replacing. You know, so it's going to have some ongoing benefits to customers as they make those purchases and change out. Lighting was another one that, you know, not too long ago we were spending money on the typical light bulb. Well, now the LEDs are so much more energy efficient and use a lot less energy for either the same amount or more light than what you're replacing. So there's just some inherent savings that are coming that's going to lead to some of our forecasts into the future, but probably more broadly, when you come down to the environmental side of it, is that we as a utility are constantly looking at what's our footprint in the environment, how can we make decisions today that are going to impact that footprint going forward, and that's why you see a lot of not just Xcel Energy but others, but investing a lot in wind, investing a lot in solar. Solar is one of those things that a lot of people are looking at. Do I put the rooftop solar on my roof? And yes, it's a pretty good investment that they need to make, but it's still a rather expensive option right now for that particular customer. However, when you start seeing some of these larger solar farms or utility scale solar environments that are out there that are connected to the grid and just become one more piece of our our equation of wind, solar, nuclear, natural gas, power, as we look at it going forward. But I can tell you from, you know, everything that we've been looking at and talking about as a utility is that our carbon footprint is going to continue to shrink over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years to the point where some of these renewables, wind, solar, natural gas, and into the life of our nuclear power plants are going to really take the place of any remaining coal-fired plants that are out there, that and it's going to make a significant difference on the environment.
That's Pat Boland from Xcel Energy here with us today to talk about home heating systems in light of the frigid temperatures gripping the Coulee region this week. He's joined by Tom Miller from La Crosse County's Energy Assistance Program and Tom Main from Coulee Cap. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. You know, Pat, and I also want to ask you how some of these new technologies that have come on the market, like smart thermostats, mm-hmm. you know, how do you see those sorts of technologies impacting kind of this market?
Well, it puts another tool in the hands of the customer to be able to say, do I want to operate my heating plant, my cooling plant, whether it's central air conditioning or your furnace, in a different way? And again, so setback thermostat that goes down at a specific time each night and comes on in the morning really does lend itself to some lower bills for that particular customer. But I think this is just the very beginning. I mean, you can see people turning on their lights and opening their garage door from their phones and doing all these things that's going forward. For a lot of us, me included, that's just kind of that pie in the sky stuff that's out there. But at the end of the day, in the next 5 years, you could probably bet on a fairly significant modifications in how people use energy. And I think that's going to be something that whether you're Google or other companies out there that are designing these things that are going to put the tools in the hands of the customers and let them manage their utility bill.
Tom Main, you mentioned that, you know, you have done some work on making sure, you know, low-income residents or lower-income residents are not getting kind of left behind when it comes to these new sorts of energy technologies. And I just wonder, do you feel like whether that's federal government or state or even local, do you feel like we're doing enough to kind of ensure that we are kind of investing in helping, you know, lower-income residents kind of take part in some of these new technologies?
Well, currently, I don't think we are, but then there again, it goes to funding and the best use of the funding. Right now, we know the most energy-saving things to do. We're addressing them currently. We're constantly, myself and staff and as statewide, as new technology comes on, we're constantly looking at that and seeing if the savings is there. Sometimes the savings, you know, sometimes it's just a little gadget. It's fun to use, but you know it doesn't really pay for itself. So, but yes, we're constantly looking and trying to keep so technology and energy savings don't pass the low income community by. I had a thought while Pat was talking, and I spoke to him outside a little bit about this. Is dementia clients? We seem to have just I don't know if there's more of them or we're seeing more of them. But having trouble being at home alone, and we've had several that would turn their thermostat off unknowingly or turn it down or turn their furnace off or turn the wrong switch off. And a couple weeks ago, I was a smart thermostat controlled by, and this was an elderly lady with dementia at home. Her son was monitoring, she lived in rural La Crosse County, her son was monitoring the heat in her home from his smartphone. So when we got there, I needed to do some testing on the furnace. The thermostat was locked. She gave me the number of the son where he could turn it up or turn it down or make sure she wasn't. I thought that was a great use of technology, and I'm going to take that forward to some at the state level, you know. If we would be able to do that when we identify somebody that, you know, may have issues such as that. And
Tom Miller, as Tom Main pointed out, a lot of this, you know, kind of comes down to funding for these sorts of assistance programs. And I just wonder, you know, what is the county anticipating when it comes to the federal funding that you guys rely on to provide these assistance programs? You know, do you foresee that funding to be kind of secure, or as secure as it can be in sort of, you know, any sort of government budgeting situation?
Well, the funding for the program has pretty much been stable over the last several years, so that's a good thing. I mean, every year there is always, you know, when the new budget at the federal level is being done, energy assistance is quite often mentioned as one that's going to be cut, but it always seems to end up back into the budget. So we've been pretty stable with ours, with our budgets. It'd be nice to see more because, you know, we'd be able to help more people, or they'd get more, each person might get more assistance. And that's really what we're there for, is to assist people, you know, to help pay their bills so that they can, you know, have a normal life.
I wonder if these sorts of assistance programs highlight some of the other disparities that we see in our community. You know, how often are we kind of, we talk a lot about affordable housing, and I just wonder kind of how that issue kind of plays into people affording their utility bills.
Well, I think, you know, quite often if they don't have a lot of money in their homes, they may be renting out places that aren't as energy efficient as somebody who can afford to pay more. I'm sure Tom has gone into homes, and I've been in homes where you can't believe, I mean, you can feel air just flying through the place. So they're not the most efficient housings to begin with. And I'm sure because of that, their energy bills are going to be much higher because it's not very efficient. So you do see some of that disparity, and you do see people that, times too, you see how much rent they're paying for where they're at, and it's amazing that they're renting it for that much money. So, and the city, I think, too, and, you know, is working on getting better housing out there for people that is affordable. I mean, with three universities or colleges in the town, you know, that really drives the market up for housing, because students aren't going to be here for a long time, and they may not be as concerned about what the where they're living is as somebody who lives there all the time.
Yeah, Tom Main, Tom Miller brings up an interesting issue of, you know, is this a compounding problem where people can't afford to invest in their home, and so then they're paying more for utilities, and that's just kind of a cycle.
Yeah, we do see that quite often as young couple or first-time home buyers buy the house, and they don't look at the utility cost for that before they make the purchase. And then they're totally shocked, which they go through their first winter and hey, we can't afford to live here and pay the mortgage. You know, they're kind of stuck in that situation. So that's, but also we do work on rentals. We can make those more affordable for people to live in. There's some added program things that we have to go through with the landlord, but we do 30% of our work, the weatherization we do, is on rentals. The landlord has to agree not to raise the rent for a certain period of time if we do the improvements on his home, but we, in the city of La Crosse, we have a pretty good network of and work with a lot of landlords to make the housing more affordable for people to live in.
As we kind of look towards the end of the winter season, that can feel kind of far away at this point, but, you know, last year in April, we saw a huge snowstorm and kind of the continuation of cold temperatures. And, you know, Pat, I wonder how that can kind of impact the heating season. I mean, does that affect Xcel's thoughts when it comes to, you know, turning off the heat for customers who can't pay the bill?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, we have a pretty wide service territory between the north and the southern part of the state of Wisconsin. And one of the things that we always look at is we don't want to be out doing something that's going to compound the issues with a particular customer. And as you mentioned, last year's snowstorm is, you know, we were the end of the moratorium was there. We utilities could go out there and disconnect services on I believe it was April 16th last year or 17th. And on April 14th and 15th, it was a major snowstorm. Well, obviously, we held our people in and wanted to make sure they were safe. But we knew that for that week, it wasn't going to be beneficial to anybody to be going out there and disconnecting anybody's service. We do have other provisions well, a couple different things. In the state of Wisconsin, we have, you know, if there's a heat advisory or warning that's been issued during the cooling season, you know, so it's 102 degrees outside. We're not out there disconnecting people's service because, obviously, again, health and safety do come into it. We have weather days. We have company policies that we're just looking at it and saying, for whatever purpose, it's not a good idea to go out and disconnect services. And in some cases, it may be after a major storm and our folks are trying to put up lines and stuff like that. Well, you don't want to be out there disconnecting people's services for non-payment. So there's a lot of things that play into that. We try and be as responsible as we can. And balance the needs to collect on customer bills with you know, really the rest of the ratepayers that may end up paying for that at some point in the form of bad debt. And so it's a balance, but we consistently err on the side of customer safety.
We've been talking with Pat Bolin, Manager of Customer Policy and Assistance for Xcel Energy, Tom Miller, Administrator of the La Crosse County Energy Assistance Program, and Tom Main, Energy Services Director for CooleeCap, about home heating programs available to residents as the Coulee region experiences frigid temperatures this week. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.